Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Masser and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
The S&P Super Composite Hotels, Restaurants, and Leisure Industry Index, it's down slightly. We saw a little bit of movement today, up about 13% year-to-date. It's really, Tim, been bouncing around this year, depending on pandemic headlines and what's going on in terms of certainly COVID and the variants.
Well, let's get an update on really how the industry is feeling. Let's talk to Julia Simpson, Chief Executive Officer of WTTC. That's the World Travel and Tourism Council. She joins us on the phone from London. Julia, how are you?
Oh, hello, Tim. Hello, Carol. I'm joining you from a very chilly London. Oh.
Yeah, well, it's a chilly New York here today as well. So we are certainly thinking about tourism and vacation. But hey, you know, we heard Doug Krisner just talk about today's decline in the markets and how investors are really trying to make sense of the Omicron variant. And certainly you have a seat at the front of when it comes to the what governments are doing in London, at least, and in the UK. Give us an idea of really how the travel industry is dealing with it, because it's still the early days.
It is still the early days, Tim. I mean, at the World Travel and Tourism Council, we look at the global impact on travel and tourism by the pandemic, and we represent about 200 of the top CEOs and chairmen in travel and tourism, from cruise to hotels. So we talk to people on a regular basis, and we get a good idea. I mean, just to put it into context, the pandemic really, really hit travel and tourism as a sector. Probably while global GDP went down maybe about 5.4%, in travel and tourism, we were hit by nearly 50%. Mm. So an industry that was worth $9 trillion globally was cut down to about $4.6 billion. That's last year. Now, we do a lot of research, economic research with Oxford Economics, and we've been charting where this might go to. And I'm going to give you some U.S. figures again in a minute, but pre the latest strain of COVID, we were looking at getting back to maybe globally 80% recovery, if there aren't further restrictions, by the end of 2022. In the US, actually, the picture is looking a bit brighter, Tim. The actual value of travel and tourism to the US pre the pandemic, taking 2019 as a baseline, was about $1.8 billion. You took slightly less of a hit at around minus 41% in 2020. That's mostly because of the strength of your domestic travel and tourism market. And so you sort of got sliced down to about $1.1 billion. Now, the good news is, this year, you're expected to grow slightly ahead of the global picture by about 36%, so that's slightly better. And then if things were to continue, and this, I think, there's big messages for governments here, but if things were to continue benignly or in the way we're seeing them now, you could get back to actually, in a good time, exceed in 2022 your pre-pandemic GDP.
Right.
That's the kind of numbers, if you like.
Right, Julia, and you do think about the pent-up demand because, you know, people can't retake the trips that they missed during the pandemic, but they can certainly go out and take a ton of trips once they feel confident about moving forward. You mentioned government. I mean, the WTTC works with governments to raise issues and some of the industry's concerns when it comes to travel and leisure. What are or what is the top one or two concerns of the industry right now that you all are bringing to global government officials?
Yeah, exactly. We've been raising with governments globally. First of all, a total lack of international coordination surrounding travel within the pandemic. You understand when a pandemic hits a country, governments naturally look inward. They're worried about their own citizens. This is completely natural and normal. But as we sort of look up above the parapet and reach hands across the ocean again, there's a severe lack of international coordination in terms of, you know, what is accepted and what the rules are. So that's one problem. Another problem is we see these severe travel restrictions suddenly coming down. So I'll give you a really good example. When the new variant was identified in South Africa, a lot of countries immediately leapt to barring anybody from certain countries in the southern part of Africa coming to Europe and coming to other parts of the world. But the irony is that the very own World Health Organization, WHO as we call it, they were saying, yeah, it was a variant of concern, but they said that closing frontiers has absolutely no impact and they shouldn't be doing it. And the economic cost to livelihoods and people can actually far outstrip the impact of the pandemic. So lack of coordination, severe travel restrictions, and also obviously the golden bullet here, or the silver bullet, is the vaccination levels. Mm-hmm. You know, the sooner we can get the world vaccinated, and we can all get vaccinated, that is our greatest prevention to this illness.
Julia, just in about a minute and a half, what is going on in London? Because we all were watching the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, his press conference yesterday on COVID, tightening of restrictions once again in the UK, mandating masks, encouraging home working. What are you hearing from your members of your community about that specifically and London specifically? Because I know you're concerned about those travel restrictions.
Yes, absolutely. The good news for travel and tourism is there haven't been any further restrictions emanating from the UK government. So I think they've recognised what I was saying earlier, that once a variant of this of COVID is actually in your community, it's absolutely pointless trying to put in frontiers. So good news for travel and tourism. No further restrictions there, which is great. I think what they want to do is to try and restrict a little bit gatherings of people, and they're saying that you can go to work if you have to be there in person, but if you can find an alternative and work from home, they're just saying for a period, because as we know that this latest variant seems to be slightly more infectious and travel faster. So they're just being cautious. I think it's more cautious than dramatic, if I'm completely mm-hmm. honest. Because life is still carrying on pretty normally. You know, I can get on the metro, the underground tubes and trains.
Do people wear masks on the underground
yes,
there?
Yes, you wear masks. So that's what you do on public, on any kind of transport, you wear a mask. If you go into a shop, football stadiums. In fact, I'm going to see we call it soccer here, my soccer. I'm going to a soccer match this weekend. And I will be able to join, you know, tens of thousands of people, but I'll be wearing a mask. And I'm probably going to be asked for my COVID vaccination certificate. Yeah.
We're going to come back with Julia Simpson. She's president and CEO of the WTTC, World Travel and Tourism Council. We'll continue this conversation right here on Bloomberg.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. You need a company with extensive experience in specialized insurance. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and helping provide coverage that suits your needs. The Hartford offers insurance solutions that help mid to large-sized businesses, like yours, effectively manage risk, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. With extensive experience in underwriting, risk engineering services, and claims, The Hartford goes beyond the expected to deliver innovative, customizable solutions and service that your industry, that your business, demands. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.
Let's get right back to Julia Simpson, CEO of WTTC, that's World Travel and Tourism Council. It's an organization of global business leaders that includes the chairs, presidents, and CEOs of top tourism and travel companies. Carnival Corporation CEO Arnold Donald is among the chairs, and Julia Simpson is the CEO. Julia, you before you had this role, you were at IAG, or International Airlines Group. It's the parent company of British Airways, Iberia, Aer Lingus, Vueling. And it was just a few months ago that you left that company. And I want you to take us back to March of 2020 when the world fell apart because of COVID, but also international travel and domestic travel just dried up. Take us back to what it was like to be at a large airline.
Yeah, well, it was pretty horrific, really, to be honest with you, because we actually saw all business almost come to a standstill. And I think aviation is very adaptable and it's very good at dealing with crises. I mean, it's obviously had the most tragic and horrendous crisis of 9/11. But then, you know, we've had financial crises and we're really, really resilient. And what I thought was great about IAG is, you know, we made sure that we had good, strong capital behind us. And I'm not, you know, up to date with all their numbers now, but I know that, you know, when I was there was 10 billion UK sterling in the bank, and we made sure that we were resilient to withstand this. So it's a very, very resilient company, and it will come through it. And since the US has opened up, we've seen enormous pent-up demand, exactly as Carol was saying earlier. You know, the Brits and the US and the EU, people from Europe traveling to the States has really, really taken off. And a big message, I mean, I was speaking to a key leader in airports in the US today,
yeah,
and they think that such pent-up demand, we could actually see, you know, us exceeding 2022 numbers.
What about when it comes...
One little message is we must ensure, you know, we have these wonderful border staff at our borders in the US and in the UK. But as these numbers grow, I think we're going to need more people. It's a little warning so that we don't get too much chaos at the airports.
Right.
We value them very much, but we need more of them.
Oh, Julia, I know there's so much pent-up demand for international travel and for travel when it comes to tourism. But what about when it comes to business? Does business travel ever get back to what it was before the pandemic? We were talking to David Rubenstein of the Carlyle Group yesterday, and he said he doesn't necessarily see himself returning to flying somewhere for a one-hour meeting with somebody.
Yeah, I think it's true. I think it's true that business travel is going to lag. We've always seen that. But at the WTTC, we've done a business report recently. And interestingly, while the area of Asia Pacific, you know, Australia, Japan, and China, they are actually coming out of their COVID travel restrictions for leisure travel slower. When that lifts, we are expecting them to rebound in business actually before everybody else. So I think it will come back. And while I do respect the fact that we are getting used to doing a lot of meetings with Zoom, it's fine when you know your team and you know people. But when you need to forge new business, or business maybe has got a lot of, you know, dollar signs, zeros behind it, it's really important that you do those deals in person. And so I love Zoom for when I'm talking to my team and people I know. But if I'm gonna seal a big deal, I'm gonna need to be able to do that in person. So I think it will be slower, but I think it will come back.
Hey, Julia, I love that you know, the CEOs of the travel and tourism companies of the world, they're all on, are all a part of your organization. You mentioned talking with a CEO just earlier today. When you look at the different sectors, whether it's hotels, whether it's airlines, whether it's cruise lines, restaurants, I mean, all of this plays into it. Is there any consensus about the outlook generally, and what about geographically, the outlook going forward?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's interesting because in the U.S., you know, we lost 5.5 million jobs mm-hmm. when the pandemic struck from travel and tourism and hospitality. And hopefully, if things carry on opening up, we're going to get those back. And we should be able to get back to at least 16.5 million people employed in the sector. So it's a massive sector. And the trends we are seeing in the U.S. is that there is the pent-up demand, exactly as you said, Carol. And as long as more restrictions are not put in place, then, you know, we could be seeing the kind of GDP of travel and tourism in the U.S. get up to 1.9 billion by the end of 2022. Mm. And jobs, as I say, you know, well over 16.5 million. So I think that's really, really important. The U.S. is doing well. China's doing well. You've got to remember that a lot of the buoyancy in the U.S. was reliant a lot on domestic travel. We saw Thanksgiving, yeah. That went very well. The airlines, everybody coped really well, which was fantastic. But it's getting those international visitors back, and that footfall, because, you know, it is worth sort of millions of dollars. So,
right.
And then I think Asia Pacific will open up a bit later, but I think business-wise, Asia Pacific will probably rebound faster.
Yeah, we've definitely been looking for it on the streets of New York City in terms of, I'm so used to walking on the cities and hearing lots of different languages and seeing people from all over, and it's definitely been something we have missed during the pandemic.
Now people are just yelling at me in English.
New York City. Julia, have a great and safe and happy holiday season. So nice to catch up with you. Julia Simpson, she's president and CEO of the WTTC, World Travel and Tourism Council, joining us on the phone from London.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Your industry is unique. It faces its own challenges and risks that set it apart. That means choosing just any insurance company just won't cut it. At The Hartford, we take pride in knowing the ins and outs of your industry and help provide solutions that suit how you do business, from liability and property insurance to workers' comp and more. At The Hartford, we don't just talk about specialization, we live it. Learn how The Hartford can help your business at thehartford.com.
Johann Schmiegel, you've got the world's highest IQ.
Yes, 247.
Wow, did you know that thanks to Salesforce with Einstein AI, everyone's smarter? Now everyone's an Einstein, just like you.
But I'm the smartest.
Not anymore. With connected data and trusted AI, everyone can give customers experiences they've only dreamed of. Oh, look, here's a few Einsteins now.
Hey, hi.
Hola, amigo.
Everyone's an Einstein?
It's okay, Johann, let it happen. The number one AI CRM. Now everyone's an Einstein with Salesforce.